Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another special edition of the Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, the 2016 Eastern Conference Second Leg Final Review Show, as we recap that wonderful night. And the whole series was wonderful between Montreal Impact and Toronto FC. You can listen to this program as well on the ultimatesportstalk.com. And, of course, we are a member of SB Nation's Once a Metro website. Chat room is open. Come on in, discuss amongst yourselves if you like. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer it to the best of my abilities. And before we even talk, I mean, unbelievable, what action. Great night for MLS soccer, great night all the way around, because once again in Canada, I mean, great job from Montreal, great job from Toronto, great job throughout this entire series. And obviously the numbers were probably awesome in Canada. Remember, it hit a million Canadian viewers for the first leg. Maybe it doubled. Who knows? If it got to another a million for last night, boy, oh boy, that was worth it, everybody. The action, the unbelievable action that you saw was unreal. But before I continue on with this discussion of the Eastern Conference Final in MLS, let me just, for one moment, I want to send my condolences. I want to send my condolences down in Brazil because of the club that was flying to Medellin, Colombia to take on Atlético Nacional. Of course, that was the club that Juan Pablo Angel was a part of, and the I just want to, and I'm trying to say their name. I forget how you pronounce it, but I'm trying to get it really quickly because, you know, I want to do it justice here. I want to do it justice because, you know, it's such a tragedy, such a terrible tragedy. That happened with this club, Chapecoense. Now, if I butchered the name, I apologize. I wasn't not trying to butcher the name. Just want to try to say it correctly, because you know you want to give them the proper respect. The proper respect because of what happened. Flying from Brazil, going to Colombia, they made a stop. And unfortunately, they were very close to landing in Colombia. And then all of a sudden, they had their issue. And sadly, it was a deadly issue. And I just want to send out my condolences. And if I did mispronounce it, I apologize. Let me say it one more time. Chapecoense. Now, like I said, if I butchered it, if I made a mistake, anyone can correct me. It's okay. It is okay to correct me. It's fine. Because the last time, of course, many remember what happened back in the day, of course, the Manchester United plane crash that happened a long time ago. And I just want to say once again, you know, very, very sorry. Very, very, very sorry for what happened. And of course, that is the Munich air disaster that happened on February 6, 1958, was the last time an entire football club was decimated because of a plane crash. And I also want to say very good on Atletico Nacional to allow this club to have the title, to allow this club to have the championship purse side of the winnings. And I also want to say to the Brazilian Football Federation, the CBF, thank you for doing the most honest thing you can do, is not allow them to be relegated for the next 3 years, to leave them staying in the Brasileiro top division in the Brazilian Football League. And unbelievable to see Ronaldinho playing for free for this club for 1 to 2 years, how much they need him if they need him. And also Kelme, the famed Argentinian national team player, of course, who came out of Boca Juniors, he also offered a one-year season to play for them for free. And that is just beautiful to see, beautiful to notice. And I'm very happy that we're all coming together, you might say, coming together in this situation. And all I can do is offer my condolences to the families, to the friends, to the loved ones, even those members of Brazilian TV and the sports writers that are going to cover the Copa Sudamericana final, two legs of this final. It's great to see that happening. And all I can say is, and let me just say once again, I'm very, very sorry for the tragedy that has struck the town, the club, and all the supporters. Now, I want to say this, and, you know, I was able to listen to this recording from Jason Davis from his United States of Soccer show. That's on Sirius XM. I was able to get a clip, and I heard his rant, and I just want to say kudos to Mr. Davis for informing certain people, or that certain person, about, you know, his opinions about what he tried to do to either denounce or add his cause to basically throw it in everyone's face about what happened with this Brazilian club and of course his cause. Originally, I thought I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to, you know, I thought I had enough say in Stephen Brandt's Yellow Card podcast last night. You know, I thought that maybe that was enough. But you know what? I have a floor, and, you know, I didn't think I was going to use it tonight. But, you know, I might as well, because, you know what? I'm just going to say this. And I'm only going to say this because this is how I feel, because I don't think you should mix a tragedy with a narrative. No matter how much you want this narrative to stick, what he did, you know his name, I won't say his name, but you know who I'm talking about because it's on Twitter. But let me say this, and of course there's no FCC regulation here, so I'll just be blunt and say it. You fucking piece of shit. You pathetic slime bastard. How fucking dare you associate your cause with that plane crash? This was a moment we had to separate ourselves from this. This was a moment that you had to put it in your back pocket for one day, maybe for 2 days, maybe even a week, and show some fucking respect to this situation that just came out. How fucking dare you? How fucking dare you come out of the blue and use this fucking tragedy to elongate your stupid cause. Let me say this right now. Everyone who knows me, yes, I would like to see it happen. But I want to see it happen that we all come together as one. All come together as one to make it happen. And because of him, he has destroyed whatever good that discussion could ever be. He has destroyed it. And it's a shame. Because it saddens me. Because of him, we have a divide. And there will always be a divide, no matter what happens. You know, I'm not talking about it. I'm not scared of saying the words of promotion relegation. I'm not scared of it. But there should be a time when you have to put it on the back burner for a certain period of time. Like this tragedy that happened in Brazil. We're all supposed to be together. The large football community that we are. This whole globe. And it takes one douchebag, one schmuck, one fucking asshole to come out and ruin it for everybody. And that is him. You know his name. You know his Twitter handle. I don't need to say it. But that bastard has no right to go out and associate the narrative that he chooses and add this tragedy to it. It is absolutely filthy and disgusting to see someone come out of the blue and ruin it for everybody. And even if you are with him, and even if you do follow him, and even if you are one of his zombies, it comes the time right now, not just for everyone that's against him, that doesn't like him, but do it for yourself. End your association with him now, because he's not speaking for you anymore. He's not. He's not speaking for you anymore. He's speaking for himself. You know who I think you should follow? He's a good guy because he's got common sense. And while he does believe in this promotion relegation situation, he's got a better head on his shoulders than that guy. I think you should follow the soccer heretic because that's an honest guy right there. I think you should follow him because that other idiot, after what just happened, the entire club, all their players, their coaching staff, their training staff, the medical staff, the Brazilian media that went to follow and cover the first leg final in Colombia, they're all gone. They have met their creator. It is over with. They will never come back. There will be new players. But it's going to take some time for this club to get back to where they should be. And it's a sad thing when someone like him, takes a tragedy like that and destroys it. Unbelievable. I got to tell you. Just got to tell you, I would rather follow the soccer heretic than that bastard. And I hope that bastard goes to hell because he deserves to go to hell the way that he fucking treated not just the club that died for no reason because of his stupid cause, but for every single football supporter in North America, in the United States, in Canada, everywhere else. those people did not deserve to have their name slain like that because of his stupid motion and movement to go to that narrative that we want, or for those that want to see promotion relegation happen. Yes, I'm emotional. Yes, I'm upset. Yes, I am ticked off. I am very, very ticked off when people use tragedies. They use these tragedies to get their way for no reason whatsoever. For no reason whatsoever. To say something that goes against decency. Decency. And if you can't be decent about the death of an entire club, then don't speak at all. Do us the favor and don't speak at all. I'm telling you right now, I am not happy this happened. I am very disgusted that this happened. And I hope, and I truly hope, this does not just the tragedy of the plane crash, that it never happens again, but I also hope that he will never use any tragedies at all for his cause, because that man is plain garbage. I got a great show for you tonight. Joining me right now, after that thrilling second leg in the Eastern Conference Final, a man that I know, you know, he's Toronto through and through. He's red through and through up in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. 24th minute blog writer, Soccer Today. Remember the Soccer Podcast, Sports Podcasting Network with Kevin Laramie. It's Dwayne Rollins. Dwayne, I'm not going to say anything spectacular here. I'm going to let you have the floor, Dwayne. Talk about that match.
Well, it's the best sporting event I've ever been to. That's not hyperbole. Others have backed it up, and it's not just because Toronto won. It helps. It helps that Toronto won, but certainly just in terms of the back and forth, the entertainment, the way it just pulled by your heart, and you were heartbroken 1 minute and ecstatic the next. It was everything that makes us sports fans, and I would have to think that a neutral watching that would have had a great time too. But certainly as someone that doesn't hide that he is a Torontonian and a partisan that way, it was certainly an experience, and it was, I'll say it was worth the 10-year wait for it.
Yeah, I mean, let me say this, and not to mix Canadian Football League with MLS, and I mean, I know many Toronto FC supporters were not happy the Argonauts moved into BMO Field. I shared in the same disagreement as well. I didn't want them in there either. But, packed from the pitch to the last row of, like, two brand-new upper decks, and I'm telling you, with that somewhat configurated roof, every time there was a goal scored, you heard the crowd, whether it was the visiting Montreal fans or the packed Toronto house. That was an unbelievable night. For not just Canadian soccer, but for this league.
Yeah, well, wall-to-wall noise. I mean, I know people that, Europeans that were there, English people that were there that I know and talk to, said that the atmosphere was as good as they'd ever seen, whether here or there. Not to get into those kind of comparisons all the time. I think sometimes we get a little too caught up in that, but it was, as I said, I've been to Raptors playoff games. I've been to Toronto Blue Jays playoff games in the LCS just recently. I have seen Toronto sports fans, the crowds that are rowdy and into it, but that was a different level because of the sport. And we all know how the sport has sort of an edge to it that you don't find in traditional North American sports. So, I don't have any trouble saying that that it was the best atmosphere, the best sort of experience overall that I've ever had in this city as a sports fan. And I can't imagine, I've been lucky. I've been to the three big games that everyone talks about here now, which is that one last night, the one the week before was 61,000 big O, and the CCL final. And, wow, it's you know, I can't say enough about what the experience was. I'm happy to have it. It's one of those nights that I'll probably remember to my last breath.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, Dwayne, I know that first leg was tough to handle. You're down 3-0, and you're wondering if Toronto is ever going to make any form of a comeback. Now, let's be honest. The two away goals that Toronto scored at the Big O, it's so huge. Forget the result. We know it's a goal aggregate series. Forget the result in the first leg. Still, you know, though, if those two road goals don't happen at the Big O, this is probably – it might be over before the second leg began.
It was certainly at least one, yeah. And that 5 minutes in Montreal, I think when the historians look back upon this not to be too pretentious with that, but when the historians look back on this, you know, it'll be Michael Bradley's goal will be the moment that they will say that Toronto FC's, you know, championship season happened if they get past Seattle, right? I think that might end up being the most important. To me, it was clearly the most important moment of the tie for sure, and the franchise so far when they got that second goal back. Because it was so unexpected in Montreal, too. It's, you know, I'll tell you right now, if you'd asked anyone watching that, you know, 59 minutes into that match, whether they thought Toronto was going to outscore Montreal 7-2 the rest of the way, which is what it ended up being, I think they would have said you were insane. So that 5-minute stretch was defining, season-defining.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, Nick Haglund, who made it 3-2, amazingly enough, that was 3-2 in the first leg, Montreal. It's 3-2 in the second leg, Toronto. And he forced his extra time at least. I mean, what a header strike by Nick Haglund to at least force extra time. I mean, I know usually – I don't know if he's usually the goal scorer that everyone wants in Toronto. It's either Josie or Giovinco or even Michael Bradley puts one in every now and then. But, you know, Nick Haglund's been a pretty good midfielder. And – you know, I just got to say, or excuse me, a defender. I apologize, a defender. You know, you don't really see a defender scoring those big type of goals unless it's on a set piece. But my God, right place at the right time.
Yeah, look Nick Haglund, I'll say this about Nick Haglund. Obviously, he almost scored a second one, too. The first goal, the goal that Cooper got, was off the rebound of the ball that was scored off of the line, and really it was pure luck that Montreal cleared that ball off the line. It hit the defense. I forget who it was. It was on the line defending, and I apologize for that, but it hit him without him even realizing that the ball was coming, I think. So Haglund almost had a brace in that game, and had quite a game defensively too. A bit caught up in the first goal, but other than that, he made several great headers defensively as well. Just a big, powerful kid that really evolved over his three seasons. If you remember, he was a first rounder for TFC 3 seasons ago. No one came out of the blue, Xavier product that no one really saw coming. And you got to give TFC a lot of credit for finding that talent, because he wasn't really considered a first round pick at the time. He was off the board. TFC's gone off the board the last 2 seasons in terms of the players they picked, with Sebastian Endo this year as well. So it's something with their scouting staff's doing that. They're finding some talent that others aren't seeing. So that's the story there. But to get back to Haglund, you know, I look at this, and bear with me for a second. There's also here the talk of the Canadian Premier League starting up, and I look at a young player like Haglund, a young American player like Haglund, and I just think that this is everything that these leagues can be for the young American or Canadian player. When they get an opportunity, they can just evolve into it. Because Haglund came, as I said, he was drafted 3 years ago. He played quite a bit in that first season. We remember what TFC was 3 years ago, though. Not anywhere close to what they are now. Sort of had to sit back down and bide his time, and he's always been a good community guy. He's really embraced the experience here. He's the first out the door to all the charity events and all that over those last years, just a face of the franchise, even though he wasn't playing a lot. And then he got his opportunity halfway through the season just by just working hard and training and being out there. And I think that's it's just an exhibit for how important getting opportunities, professional opportunities, are for young players. And it's kind of, I looked at that game and it gave me a lot of excitement thinking about, you know, extrapolating his performance last night and looking at what it might mean for a young Canadian player we don't know of right now in a few years getting the same kind of opportunity in the league that we hopefully create here. And it does certainly seem like it's going to happen in the next month or so. They're going to make that announcement. So yeah, I was very excited about him, and I was very happy to see see him have that performance last night, because as I said, he's worked hard for it, and he's a great product that I think going to have a long MLS career now.
Real fast, not to divert our conversation, but this Canadian Premier League, it's truly going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I've always believed that because of my sources were very strong, but yeah, up here, it's an open secret now. People are talking openly about it in soccer circles, and not in an if way, in a when way.
Right.
I suspect you'll find Anthony Chesser told me the other day that he has some news coming out probably with the markets that he'll be in by the end of this weekend. So I suspect you'll see some news very soon.
Oh, absolutely, and don't worry. We'll get to that somewhere down the road, of course. But let's just get back into this one. Tough seeing Sebastian Giovinco limping off, and Greg Vanney using that last sub for Benoit Giroux. But apparently, it's a stroke of genius. He gets the winning goal. I mean, Vanney must be – I mean, look, Vanney must be thinking to himself, how the heck did this happen, and how did I do it at the right time?
Well, yeah, I mean, stroke of luck, stroke of genius, call it what you want. Certainly adding those fresh legs. And I think that if you can skip further ahead even to adding Toussaint Ricketts into the game was really where I think it started to turn truly in Toronto's favor earlier. And that's been the story of the playoffs, too, Ricketts coming out and being a brilliant sub option on the bench. But, yeah, what can you say? Giroux, he's a player that I think clearly is at the end. That probably will be his last goal of his career. He's not a scorer per se. On his second touch of the game, he had one little quick touch before that. Unfortunately, we didn't have the story of it being his first touch to score. But, it's a storybook, right? And he's had a long career for some good clubs, some great clubs in England, in Europe. For him to do that at the end of his time and to come off the bench and show his veteran presence, it's, you know, he gets a big salary, so he earned every penny of it last night, and he'll be a folk hero within TFC circles he already was. People love Giroux here because he's kind of a player that he exemplifies what I think is an underreported aspect of TFC, really, in the sense that we all know Giovinco, right? But this team has depth very few MLS teams have ever had. This truly is a very good MLS team, and I think we're all seeing it firsthand. And when you can pull a guy like Giroux off the bench, a guy with that kind of experience that's, you know, played in the highest levels, then that says a lot about how Tim Bezpachenko has built this team and what it's, you know, why this team is at the precipice of a championship is because of depth like that. And it was great to see. It was right in front of me, seeing the look on his face.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, it was fantastic to see that happen. Let's talk about Canadian soccer for a moment here. 1 million viewers in the first leg at the Big O on TSN and all, always, you know, following, watching that fantastic first leg between Montreal and Toronto. Do you know what the numbers are for this second leg, and was it more than 1 million? What happened here at BMO? Dwayne?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. I hear you fine. I hear you good. You hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. What were the ratings for the second leg? Because I know it was 1 million in the first leg at in Montreal at the Big O. Do you know what the TV ratings were in Canada for the second leg?
Yeah. The press release came out at 5 o'clock this afternoon. It was an average of 1.4 million viewers and a peak of 4.4 million viewers last night.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, no,
that is great for Canadian soccer. I mean, we can definitely say the game has – I mean, we know the game's arrived in Canada. It's always been there. But you can definitely say that it's back on the rise right now. And I'm really happy for you. And, you know, look, you – I mean, I don't have to – say their names, but of course I have to because, you know, it was you, Ben Rycroft, Ben Knight, let's not forget Jerry Dobson, as well as Craig Forrest, you know, Jason DeVos, and many, many others in English and French, Canadian television. The long nights and the long days that you guys, you know, covering, writing, podcasting, video shows, TV shows, the coverage that the league gets, of course, with the Canadian teams now. And Vancouver's going to match up with the Red Bulls in the quarterfinals of the 16-17 CONCACAF Champions League coming up. Impact just maybe almost doing the impossible in the two editions ago for the CCL. I mean, you know, this must be a wonderful day for you and everyone else that loves the sport over there.
Yeah, look, it shows what the potential is. And obviously, when you look at 1.4 million average, 4.4 million peak, there's a lot of folks that are checking it out for the first time, and they were treated to such a wonderful product, a wonderful experience, that they'll come back, and not just to MLS and to these teams, but to the sport in general. And I always, you know, you can't separate it. I should put that number in context. That's a higher number than they got for the Euro final. So that tells you that there's a market for domestic local sport and a passion for it. And that, to me, has been the biggest change in this country, the biggest thing that Major League Soccer brought to this country when it came here 10 years ago, is for years there was always those fans were there, but they weren't necessarily there for anything local, and that includes the national team or what have you. And now that they've had that product for 10 years, and now that there's a generation, 20-year-olds that were 10 when this team launched that have grown up with the game, it's just part of the sporting culture now, and that can only help the game moving forward. And you know, I think there's no doubt that there are people up here that think that Major League Soccer hasn't given much to this country in terms of the national team and so on and so forth. I think that that's misguided. I think we need more, but I think that it's misguided to say that, and then last night was a testament to that. And great for not just the two markets involved, but the whole country involved. And as you said, off the top of the league as well, because this has to go down. It's too soon to put it definitively in a place of the all-time part of this league or all-time history of this league, but it has to go down into one of the best games, one of the best series this league has ever seen in its entire 20-year history.
So, Dwayne, you've got one more home game, and that is the MLS Cup Final at BMO Field. And you know as well as I do, the Seattle Sounders are coming, not just across the border, but they're flying across the country. Whether they fly from Seattle to Toronto or they got to go to Vancouver first, we'll find out. But this is probably the final of every Toronto FC supporter's dream, and the media as well. And obviously the CSA will be there, hopefully, for history as well. What are you expecting in that final against the Sounders?
Yeah, it's a good matchup, I think, in terms of a lot of things. The narrative is there. In many ways, it's the MLS 2.0 derby. We can jokingly calling it today, in the sense that the two teams, TFC Seattle, are the two franchises, the expansion franchises at launch, that really changed a lot of how this league was viewed in terms of the supporters' culture. I know Seattle likes to think that they invented a lot of things to start the rivalry there. I think the TFC invented Seattle in many ways. So there's a certain natural, not rivalry because they're not close enough, but there's a comparison there that's interesting. And obviously they went in completely different directions on the field. Seattle's had a consistently brilliant performance over the years, and TFC has had a consistently not brilliant performance on the field over their history as well. A little tie-in, too. Seattle's first-ever road win was at BMO Field. That's something interesting. I'm sure they'd like to win their first-ever championship, first-ever league championship at the Women's Sports Shield, clearly, but at BMO as well. But, yeah, I think that in many ways I look at Seattle's lineup and I look how Morris is kind of a wide sort of threat that offers some of the same things that Oduro does for Montreal. He's not quite as fast. No one is in the league as Oduro, but and I look at, Daryl with sort of that creativity. I compare him to Piatti, and I think there's a lot of comparisons between Seattle and Montreal and how they're set up and how they can operate and sort of challenge TFC. So I think that this is obviously going to be a difficult challenge for TFC. They played earlier this year at BMO, which fortunately we have that comparison there. If people remember back to that game, it was Jordan Morris scored a wonder goal that kind of launched his season at that point. He was struggling up to that. It was a beautiful curling ball that down the, he got some time, space down the wing, curled it in over the over the top of Irwin at that time. It was the goal of the week in MLS, so it was a 2-2, I believe, was the score. It was a great game earlier this season. So there's a lot of you can expect, I think, that it will be a good game. And I think it'll be scoring. I think you'll see goals in that final by both teams. And I think Toronto has enough firepower to win that. I can't believe I'm saying that as a TFC guy from day one. But I do think Toronto is the better team, but I do think Seattle matches up well, just like Montreal matched up well. So, and I do think Toronto as well, based on how they played in this playoffs. 17 goals in the playoffs, unreal, that they're just going to go out to try and outscore them, and they might be able to do it. And it should be a fun final, I think. I don't think you're going to get one of those ugly MLS 1-0s that, you know, with people breaking each other's legs in the box like we've seen in the past. I think this is going to be a great game for the neutral, and it's going to be nerve-wracking in that stadium because, as I said, I think both teams are going to score goals in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Did you find Laramie? Did you console him? Did you talk to him? Did you both have a big hug? Because obviously he's a part of this whole situation as well with the Montreal end of things.
Well, Gavin was nice, and he was working for us last night. He got the sound for Garber had the press conference earlier on the year, and he got the post game stuff right there. So I wasn't able to meet him immediately because I decided that after 10 years, I was going to have a pure fan experience last night and watch that game solely from the stands, and I wasn't able. I did communicate with Kevin after the fact. We sent a couple text messages back and forth. He said he felt, I don't want to speak for him, but he was very gracious in defeat. Most of the Montreal fans, I should say, and the interactions I've had anyway, have been pretty gracious in defeat. I kind of felt a little bit sorry for the traveling away support of Montreal because, of course, we're penned in for security reasons, like any away support would be for the entire duration of the post-game celebration in there. So they were forced to sit and watch the team that they hate the most celebrate with the fans and have a trophy and do the Icelandic clap and the whole nine yards. That couldn't have been too much fun for them, but 500 traveling fans just sitting there solemnly. Anyway, I felt a little sorry for them. I also was a little amused by it, I'm not going to lie.
Right.
We've all been there at one point. Yeah, no, Kevin seemed pretty happy for us, and we will have a full show tomorrow, and he had Off the Woodworks is out there if you want to listen to his thoughts right now. But, it was a good night overall, and we celebrated late into the night. I've had a pretty lazy day. I purposely did a couple radio hits today, but other than that, I more or less took the day off because we were up late, we'll say. So it was a good night had by all.
Absolutely. And Dwayne, I know I left you a voicemail message, but let me say it again. Congratulations, my friend. I know, ever since this club was created, and I know, remember you with that little nice little email when I was with the Champion Soccer Radio Network. I was the producer for setting up all the times of the callers. Please add me. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? I don't know who the hell you are, but what the hell?
Champion Soccer,
the good old days.
Good name, blast from the past that, yeah. A lot of those guys have gone on to make. I was always with Jason Davis today, too. It was kind of fun because Jason and I go way back, and Dave Clark from Sounder and Hart go way back. That's the great thing about MLS. It's a small world amongst those of us that have covered it day in, day out for a long time, and it'd be nice to see some of those Seattle guys that I've known for forever when they traveled to Toronto. So, happy days. Happy days are finally here.
That's right. They really are. So, Dwayne, listen, I will talk to you next time. Probably we'll need you for the review, the final. But other than that, congratulations again. Very happy for you. And we'll see what happens with Toronto if they do bring that MLS Cup permanently home on Sunday night on December the 10th. Thanks again, my friend, and have a good night.
Cheers.
Cheers. Dwayne Rollins, 24th minute. Soccer Today Show, Sports Podcasting Network in Canada, up in Toronto. Toronto FC will host the Seattle Sounders at BMO Field on Fox Sports in the United States. Fox Sports 1 or Fox Sports 1 of the two will be shown. So it should be a very, very hotly contested match. We'll wait and see what's going to happen. But let me say this. I think we're going to get a great final. I think we'll see a lot of action, a lot of goals, I think. I don't know if we're going to see as many as we saw in the Canadian series between Montreal and Toronto in the East Final. But Let's hope that let's all hope that this will happen, and let's just get ourselves a great final. Let's have some fun. Here's what's going to happen. I will not host a show next week. I will be on a little vacation. I have to go down to Florida to or I have to go and visit my parents, I should say. I have to go and see them. My father is not in good shape at the moment, but just want to let everyone know the next time Four Scenes Fire will be on will be the week after, or the weekend after, I should say, of the MLS Cup Finals. So on Monday night, December the 12th, Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show with the MLS Cup Final Review show will be broadcasted on Monday, December the 12th. Also, later that week on that Friday, we will restart the Four Scenes Fire shows. We're going to have a special roundtable. Have not made the subject yet, but I think some of you will know about the current grumblings and rumblings that's going on in the lower levels of American soccer. Some more stuff coming out, and we'll share it all with you. We'll have Carter Krishnar on. We'll have Nipun Chopra also on, who also writes at World Soccer Talk. We'll try to get one or two more people to join in if possible, and we're going to have some fun because right now there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on, and my hope will be that the NESL remains alive. That's how I like to see it. So I just want to pass it along to everyone, and I just want everyone to know that and but still, though, I have to say this. But all I can say is this, is that I think we've seen some great MLS soccer this season. We've seen many, many stories come and go, especially what else has been going on with the national team, stories about what's going on in the lower levels. But and all I can say is this. I think it's been a great year. We've had a lot of ups, a lot of downs, and who knows what's going to happen if this will right the ship with the national team after the first two qualifiers were basically 0-2. And we'll see what happens when the return of Bruce Arena if he can bring back that magic from 2002 and 2006. We'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. But other than that, you know, I think it's been a fantastic year so far. And hopefully we will see what will happen because there's one more fantastic moment left to go. And that is the MLS Cup Championship Final on Saturday night on the 10th of December. At BMO Field, once again in the U.S., it'll be on Fox Sports. And in Canada, I would have to assume it'll be on TSN. So, and let's also not forget RDS in French. So I think we're going to have some fun here, and let's put a flourish on a finish of this wonderful season in MLS. I want to thank my guest, of course, Dwayne Rollins, for coming on. And everyone, I hope you have a great weekend. Talk to you in about a little over a week, and we'll definitely have some fun. We'll definitely talk about it some more, and we'll have some fun. And don't forget about the special roundtable discussion in 2 weeks with Kartik Krishnayer and Nipun Chopra. We'll try to get one or two more people to join in, and hopefully we'll have some fun with that one because I know you enjoyed the last roundtable. I'm glad to give it to you. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you for joining me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody. Talk to you next time. And bye-bye for now.